This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Let's get it going, Wendy's Big Show, on a hump day, on a birthday for our guy Gary Ellerson. Four Badger and Packer running back celebrates his 21st birthday once again today. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside. I'm Bill Baby Tal Schmidt. Jeff Orlowski on the other side of the glass. Intern AmFam with you until Brewers and Braves wraps up a 2-0 lead right now for the crew. Chase Anderson on the bump, two on and two out for the Atlanta Braves with Freddie Freeman at the dish. Hopefully talking about the Brewers' first series win in quite some time. They try to match the Chicago Cubs. Got their first series win in over a month, over the weekend, Gary. But yesterday, finally the dam breaks loose. The Brewers allow some offense in, and they bust out for 13, match their season high for run production on a lineup that Steve Sparky Pfeiffer didn't like yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show.
Nope.
But it doesn't matter how it happens. All that matters is that dudes start tapping on home plate, and it would be a nice birthday present for our guy Gary Ellerson today if Chase Anderson hauled off here and threw a beauty, right?
Well, I mean, you know, you can play that. And Steve loves it. I mean, since I've known that Joker, he loves that lineup game. I mean, he'll do it every
single
day.
But we said yesterday, when we don't like the lineup, they score 10 or 11 runs. Yeah, that's how it goes.
But I think we had Craig Counsell on. I don't forget. Maybe it was Doug Melvin. Steve said, I'd love to call you every day. We could talk lineup talk.
And he's like, no, I wouldn't like
never.
That.
No.
That's what I want to do, man. That's what I do, cuz. I want to talk lineup every day. So, yeah, you never know, right? I mean, you look at a lineup and you think that they're trying to save something for the next day, and I'm sure they're doing it because there's so many games you play a year. You got to try to push everybody around and move the puzzle pieces. And, yeah, I mean, you just hope that the lid is off. And right now they're up 2-0, and you just hope that they can score a run.
With your backup catcher hitting the home run.
On a Manny Pena, two-run shot.
That lineup is brutal you get past five.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that it needs to be as long as it starts scoring some runs. We don't matter. We don't care as long as the Brewers are getting W's because they need them because the Chicago Cubs are starting to stack up a couple of W's as well. We'll get into some Brewers conversation a little bit later on, but 414-799-1250, the phone number live at 1057FMTheFan.com.
We're going to talk about the Packers, right?
Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. Yes, we are.
So before we get into Packer talk, I have some Packer talk, too, that I just saw while I was eating lunch before I came into the studio. Gary, when you played with players back in the day, I don't know if you're going to answer this on the air or not, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay, give it a shot.
Who was the cockiest player that you played with?
Cockiest player I played with?
Either organization, doesn't matter. Green Bay, Detroit,
for
Wisconsin.
Green Bay, the cockiest player I ever played was... had to be Tim Harris.
Oh, I believe that totally, 100%.
Had to be.
That would make sense. He was the guy that would do the guns, the six shooters after he got quarterback sacks. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Packers of all time.
Cockiest.
Right?
Yeah.
The reason I ask you is...
You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I do. I definitely want to keep
going. Not necessarily, but go ahead.
I like it.
in Wisconsin, the cockiest player that I played with in Wisconsin... I don't think we had any. They were all like almost choir boys, almost to speak. I probably was the most cockiest. Probably.
I was wondering when that was going to come.
Yeah, I probably
school player
was.
Of the year out of Georgia.
I don't know how good I am. Yeah, dude. I mean, my buddy Jerry Vance, he can tell you the story. These jokers, they had all the rookies. But freshmen. We come in and we got to introduce ourselves. Maybe Steve heard this before. I'm not sure. But all the it's better when it comes from somebody else who tells a story actually that it's about you. But anyway, we come in and so all the freshmen had to come in maybe like a week or two early. Then
get
acclimated,
orientation,
which register for school, all that stuff, freshman orientation, all that crap. So then all the upperclassmen come in like maybe a week or two later. So we had to get up in front of the the upperclassmen and tell our names where we're from.
Little player introductions.
I get up. Yep. Gary Ellison, All-American, Albany, Georgia. They call me GE, good every time, or General Electric. I light up the crowd. And, man, everybody started taking their shoes off and throwing them at me.
He said General Electric.
General Electric. Good every time. Just plug me in.
Plug me in. I light up the crowd.
That's what I do. Man, I should. If they had anything they had in their hand, they threw it at me. You hear me?
Oh, you must have been the most hated. Oh, I set my
What? You think in a defensive drill, Jones couldn't wait to hit me?
They were waiting on it. And the best part was, the other dudes that didn't like it, the older guys, were going up to the defensive dudes saying, hey, man, you got to straighten out this running back, kid.
Right, right.
Did you hear what this kid just said?
Right, you got to straighten him out. But then, when you go out there, though, Baby Thompson, you, like, with the freshman group, and you rip one of them off by 30, 40 yards, then them jokers started calling me GE.
Mm-hmm. And a slow trot back.
Yes, sir.
That's not a hustle back.
And my nickname became, after that, was GE. That's where I got GE from.
Light it up.
So.
Now you light up the airwaves.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
In Detroit, it was a guy by the name of Jerry Ball. I don't know if
defensive nose tackle.
Yes. Yeah. He was straight crazy.
Really right, good.
Go ahead. What are you getting to?
Really good.
I like that it's the big dudes that are the ones that are the most cocky.
Yeah.
Because when the big dudes know that they can move.
What?
It's when you know that you got some.
Yeah.
That is great stuff.
Aaron Rodgers just doesn't stop. I mean, I just.
What do you do now?
So, Aaron Rodgers, as we know, a couple weeks ago, did a thing with Mike Silver of NFL.com.
Okay.
And one of the quotes he had in there was, I don't think you want me to turn off 11 years. There's stuff that not many people only can do with the line.
Right.
That's not a humble brag. That's just a fact.
Right.
And we are all like, good Lord, come
right.
on, man.
We saw that already. Right? That's not new, crazy, is it? Right?
Okay.
Okay, you get into it?
Oh, yeah. So I'm just setting up for where we're going.
Okay, warming me up.
So now Chris Sims had a chance to.
Chris Sims, that used to be quarterback for the Texas Longhorns?
Correct.
And dad, Phil Sims?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And now he does
New York
a
Giants.
Yep.
I think
he does a podcast on Bleacher Report.
Okay, what Chris Sims do?
Right. So Chris Sims was on with Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, you know, Mike Florio, a big Packer fan. Mm-hmm. The veteran senior caller at one point said that, quote, too much is made of the audible issue to Chris Sims because there's audibles in every play. And then Florio points out, of course, that would then tend to justify making it a big issue. However. Sims said he doesn't see the fact that the issue emerged publicly as a negative, acknowledging, however, that a lot of people do. Rodgers then subtly and deftly shifted the focus from the question of whether the public nature of the disagreement is negative. Quote, there's nothing negative about having a lot of experience. With me, I will do things that other quarterbacks just can't do or haven't done. End quote.
Well, he's right.
Dude, I just...
He's
man,
right.
We've seen... Right, great quarterbacks. We've seen Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody, but
Dan Marino,
Joe Montana, Dan Marino, John Elway. I mean, we've seen.
Yeah.
Does anybody talk like this dude talks?
No, but see, here's the
Am
thing.
Am I getting rubbed the wrong way?
No.
Dan Marino talked like that, it seemed
Dan
when
Marino
he was coming
did,
out.
But here's what you got with Aaron Rodgers right now. And you see Mark Murphy tried to call me out, say as much as doing about nothing. But I will say this. It feels like Rodgers is fighting to call plays.
Like he wants that on him.
Yeah.
And he knows that the conversation is at least making it known or relevant to the rest of the league.
Yep. The organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's a subliminal message he's sending to Matt LaFleur and everybody else. I want to call plays. That to me, that's what's going on. And Mark kind of poo-pooed it. I'm telling you, there's something there, Steve. You read it again. There just is. I'm not being radio guy looking into this. There's just something there. You want to read it again? Just one more time.
It's just very.
I put my headphones on this time.
I mean, for me, it's just. I read it while I was eating lunch. I'm like, dude, how cocky are you? Seriously,
read it
at
one
this
more
point.
Time.
So now
justifiable confidence.
Sure.
Some would call it.
Roger said, quote, there's nothing negative about having a lot of experience. With me, I will do things that other quarterbacks just can't do or haven't done.
But that is kind of true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... he's got one Super Bowl. How many quarterbacks have one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks have more than one Super Bowl?
How many quarterbacks have the completion percentage that he does?
Means nothing if you have one ring at the end of the day. You got as many as Doug Williams.
Winning percentage that he does?
You got one more than Marino, I guess. But you've got as many rings as Trent Dilfer and Doug Williams and the rest of these guys. And that's just what it is. And I remember when Peyton Manning won his first one with Indianapolis, and he said, a bunch of dudes have won one. You want to separate yourself, you have to win at least two. That's how you have to separate yourself. Brett only got one.
You think
when it was all
Peyton,
said and done.
You think Peyton Manning really separated himself with the second Super Bowl he won that he played zero role in? That was all on the Bronco defense?
Not at all. But that was the press conference after they beat the Bears. And he was taking a shot at Brett, is what that was. That comment was about Brett. That comment was definitely about number four, as it was anybody else. Because I remember coming in here and talking about it the next day going, well, he was talking about Brett. Like, he's got one ring. Everybody's talking like he's God, and he's only got one. And so he just threw it out there like, hey, if you only end up with one, then, you know, there's a bunch of guys out there with one, and that's how you're measured. Quarterbacks are measured in the NFL. It's how many Super Bowl rings you have at the end of the day. Whether you don't have to agree with it, you don't have to like it, but more times than not, that is how people stack them up. And that's how Brady gets stacked up. That's how Montana gets stacked up. The one guy that gets screwed in that whole conversation is Terry Bradshaw. But outside of him, that's normally how it works.
It's a difficult conversation to get into because also – We know that Aaron Rodgers' career isn't over. Some people might think that the good years of it are over.
Nope.
But to the extent of winning later on in your career, Tom Brady has totally wrecked that curve, though. I mean, like, nobody was playing, getting ready for possible a breakout season in your 20th year. Yep. Talking about, like, man, I feel as good as I ever have. Dude, either you're sandbagging everybody, or modern medicine has just made you that much more elite than those other guys ever had the opportunity to.
Right.
And I think we had a conversation or a couple of different conversations with guys at the Packer Hall of Fame golf outing about that exact thing, Gary, where we looked at him and said, hey, man, how long would you be able to play in today's NFL?
Well, everybody thinks
the restrictions, they think that they could go 10, 12 years.
Sure they could, easily. The running back position is the only position that's not going to go long. I mean, that's why all these guys, the running backs, are trying to hold out and get more money. They know they've got one payday. But if you start looking around other positions, other guys can get at least two or three paydays. For quarterbacks, for sure, if you're good, you can get three or four. Offensive lineman, and back to Ari's going to get another one.
Yep, he's in line for one.
Yeah, well, this will be his second one, I believe. That's Leroy. He knows more about. But, so if you look around, you know, you're good offensive line, they can get three or four. Pass rush, if they can keep going, they can get at least three. DBs, I mean, if you don't get hurt, You can get paid there, but the running backs are the only ones that are really going to get you one contract. And I think if you look at Aaron Rodgers and you talk about his attitude, though, Steve, and you want to be confident in what you're doing, but it just feels like to me that he is throwing all this stuff out there so everybody knows that if this goes south, this is why it's going to go south. I think it's
strategy, then.
Yeah, it's all strategy. This is all subliminal to Matt LaFleur.
It definitely could be strategy, but
it
also
how good I am. I mean, that's the play. Matt LaFleur had the things. Well, it wasn't scheduled to go that route, but he threw the touchdown.
Do you also think some of it could be? And we talk about the aw shucks from Brett Favre, but when you look at Aaron Rodgers and the team
constructed with Rodgers,
but for what they have constructed this year. Him knowing what they've put into the defense, him knowing that that's the side of the ball that probably has the more experience on it for players left and right, and people are writing left all over the place, Greg Rosenthal, the latest, about the defense this year expected to be better than the offense throughout all 16 games. Maybe some of this is Aaron Rodgers trying to downplay what he can do, catching people off guard on the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. Or maybe he's lowering expectations just to blow him out of the water like always.
No, I still think the revenge tour is happening. I just do. And regardless if it's him doing what the hell he wants to do and ignoring LaFleur, or however this plays out, he's going to get his numbers. He just is. That's what's going to happen at the end of the day. And if it doesn't happen, I will be shocked. I'll be shocked by a couple of things. I'll be shocked if Aaron Jones doesn't have a breakout year and is able to put it together and have big numbers. And I'll be surprised if Aaron Rodgers doesn't end up in that MVP conversation with this team winning this division.
But will you be shocked if this year the defense is better than the offense?
Yes.
414-799-1250. That's the question, because if the team can get to where they want to be into the playoffs, the first year in a new offense, they might just need the defense to be better than it ever has been in Aaron Rodgers' career. 414-799-1250. Will this year be the year that the Green Bay Packers' defense is better than the offense? 414-799-1250. It's the Wendy's Big Show on a Wednesday, a Gary Ellerson birthday before Brewers and Braves wrap up for Miller Park. Top half of the fourth inning, Chase Anderson got a shutout going, a 2-0 lead thanks to a Manny Pena two-run shot.
I think, Gary, it's only appropriate for your birthday that you should be able to pick bumper music coming out of breaks. What do you think? You like that idea, Leroy? Leroy's in here. Leroy likes that idea. You cool with that, Gary?
Pick bumper music.
Yeah, so you can pick what songs we come out of the break with.
Oh, sure, okay.
So you can pick what songs you want to hear coming out of the break, and okay. Baby Tosh will play them.
All right, sounds good.
By Gary Ellerson request.
Wait,
no, you don't get one.
I want Prince.
It's not your birthday.
Kiss.
Your birthday's coming up.
From Gary Oki. I want Gary to sing it.
Oh, you can request that on your birthday.
That was one of your best ones.
You can request that on your birthday. No, no.
You don't
want
to play that one?
No.
No, Gary's got his own request. It's by request from GE on a birthday on a Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The changing ocean tides. Can I handle the seasons of my
That was just rude.
But time made you bolder. Even children get older. And I'm getting older too.
Getting older too, Steve.
You've been old for a while, though.
Man. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
You know you're
request,
old. You don't know your kid's birthday. Names.
No, you know you're old when they tell you you can't run anymore.
Well, that's been a long time, man. If you pop your feet. Hey, come here.
What? I do that all the time. I know your name. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, by the time you get here, I know your name.
When did that happen to everybody? When do those moments start happening?
I say 45.
I'm not to 45, so I guess 45. I'm early. Yeah.
Wow, that's a sad look into the future for me, I guess. Goodness gracious.
Hey, listen. That's different for everybody. I know people 65 and sharp.
Like a whip.
So that ain't everybody.
Okay.
That's
okay,
just individual.
Well, I'm gonna hope that I'm on the other end.
Yeah,
of,
I got.
We'll see.
And they 70s.
Lagging
some brain cells. These 20-year-olds. So that's just us.
Will this year be the year that the Packers' defense is better than the Packers' offense? And Gary, we haven't seen that in Aaron Rodgers' career. They were close to it when they got top five, and it led them to a Super Bowl, and then really haven't gotten back to that point since Nick Collins' injury. You had a couple of years with a pop-up solid defense, but nowhere in the top 10 range. Right now, it looks like that's where the Packers are kind of expecting their defense to be.
Yeah, it feels like way. And I just saw something with Greg Rosenthal here earlier today. I effort him trying to get him on the phone, but he says, "No, Gary, I'm on vacation now with the family, but I get you back." So feels like everybody's ramping up for football right now.
Yep.
Bill Michaels on vacation, and I'm going to be going out here a couple of days, and so everybody's trying to get that last little break in if they can. But he wrote a piece about he thinks that this would be the first time. I don't have the article up right now in front of me, but I think in his article he says he thinks this would be the first time since 2000 whatever that the Green Bay Packers defense will probably be better than the Packers offense. We had Mark Murphy on the other day. He was talking about the defense and Mike Pettine. Most certainly, if you think about, I know you and Steve was on this tour with, oh boy, which is fine, with Aaron Rodgers. But if you look at it logically, you got Mike Pettine coming back. This is year number two in his defense. Everybody should know where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to go. That these guys should take a significant jump. If you look at the offense, although you have Aaron Rodgers, he's already told Steve how great he is, that you would think still that's going to be some sort of growing pain with that offense and where everybody's supposed to be.
And what the scheme wants to be.
Yes.
Matt LaFleur obviously wants to run the football a little bit more than Aaron Rodgers would like to.
Right.
And maybe some of this is also Mike Pettine would like to run the football a little bit more than Aaron Rodgers would like to. If you're going to rely on your defense, a lot of it is being able to control the football and holding that other offense, the opposing offense, off of your defense.
If this is going to work, Aaron Jones can't get hurt.
Well, that's no doubt. He needs to play 16 games. You can talk about how many yards he wants, but he needs to play 16 games.
Well,
he can't be a dual threat now. because you can't give him, 15 to 20 touches a game.
About 15 is the max?
They can try it early.
Leroy, you think this is the year that the Packers' defense finally better than the Packers' offense that we're looking at?
Well, I'll say this. If you look at eye tests and you look at what we know, defense is normally always ahead of offenses, especially when your coach came back. So I don't think that was a devastating statement because, I mean, come on now. I mean, the guy has to learn all this terminology on offense, and on defense, we keep it simple. That's why defense wins championships. I mean, they have to learn all this stuff, and while they're learning defense, you're just fine-tuning. I mean, basically, mm-hmm. You know where you're going. You know the defense. Now, the rookies and free agents, those guys were relied upon heavily. Then they're going to play a certain role. But I'm going to say this, though. If your defense is better than your offense, you're going to be in a lot of games.
Sure, okay? It's going to be low scoring.
Yeah, you're going to be in a lot of games.
In this division, what are they? Third best defense?
I don't know if the – it's hard to say because what category you want to look at. For his sacks, I think they were probably number one. I mean
– Oh, this past year?
As a group.
Right, I have to look.
As a group, they was in top five in the league. But I would think that, Chicago and Minnesota and all these guys, and quietly Detroit had a pretty good stretch getting after the quarterback. So as a group, their sacks were up. Turnovers way down. I remember at one point they didn't had not had an interception, like 8 weeks, something like that. They just a defensive back didn't have an interception. So, if the offense is better than the defense, they're not going to win a lot of games, guys. If you telling me the offense is going to put up 30 points a game and just throw it all over the place and your defense just playing catch up, you're just not going to win a lot of games. But if your defense is better, you're going to be competitive in a lot of games, and it's up to what we're reading about Aaron to get you to that next level. He has to be patient, go for the check down, not throw it 50 yards incomplete. Percentages, because we have this chart that players hate. I like to use it when it helps my argument. As a chart, they were using percentages, and they would tell you this is a low percentage throw, this is a high percentage throw. And I remember Fred Sherman used to go up there, and he used to take his glasses off. Anytime he took his glasses off, two things were going to happen. That means Leroy Butler was going to blitz, or he's trying to make his point. He takes them off. If we can get guys to throw in low percentage areas, we'll be the best defense in the league. We want to funnel the ball to go to a particular point. I mean, every one of you bleeps has to buy in. If you don't, we're just going to be an average top 20 defense, and I don't know if that gets us to the Super Bowl. So my thing is, you got to get everybody to buy in on offense and defense for this thing to work. You're going to know right away as soon as they get in camp next week if everybody, for one, come back in great shape. And if this defense is – you remember back when they were doing OTAs, when the defense was making plays,
right.
It was always a bad practice. But when
sloppy
Aaron,
was
when
the Aaron was the catch hit, word most right. of the time, yes.
When Aaron would hit Kumaro or MVS, a big – oh, it's great practice. That's normal.
The Packers rushing the quarterback last year were tied for eighth with 44 sacks. The leaders were the Kansas City Chiefs, and they were one of the – lower-rated defenses in all of football last year at 52, tied with the Steelers, tied for third with the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings.
See,
at 50. You're going to be able to...
That's a lot of sacks.
Wait. 50 sacks? The first was who, Kansas City?
At 52, tied with Pittsburgh.
No.
Well, they had that D-Ford and Justin...
Last year, just...
AFC title game.
Yeah, title game.
Who was second?
Tied with them was Pittsburgh. Didn't make the playoffs.
Third.
Chicago and Minnesota tied for third at 50.
And where were they in the playoffs? NFC Championship game for
Chicago.
What, did they lose in the NFC Championship?
No, Chicago didn't make it past the first round.
At home, they lost.
At home in the wild card round.
Well, the kicker lost it for them, but it is what it is.
And who were they tied with? Minnesota?
Tied with Minnesota, who didn't make the playoffs.
Okay, and then who was next?
New Orleans in the NFC Championship game. Arizona was putrid. They had the number one overall pick. Washington is alone at 7 with 46, didn't make the playoffs. Denver didn't make the playoffs, tied with Green Bay and Philadelphia for 8th most sacks in the NFL at 44 last year.
So what does that really mean?
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
well,
you're getting a lot of sacks, but you're
I'm not a number guy. Y'all know that, but I'm just saying.
That's one point to this, too. One of the top defenses in all of football last year was the L.A. Rams, right? Everybody loved the Rams defense.
Yeah.
Loved
how
they turned
the
football over.
MVP.
They were 15th in the league with 41 sacks.
What? But he got what?
Chargers were 38. Had 38. They're tied for 19th with the Colts, which was a much improved defense.
So turnovers is a big deal.
Is where it comes into it.
Go to turnover
ratio. One part of the Greg Rosenthal piece, which he points to as a part of Mike Pettine's defense that he believes can make it much improved, is Jaire Alexander becoming a perennial Pro Bowl talent on the outside and covering up half the field, allowing you to take the football over in that sense.
That shouldn't be Jaire Alexander. It should be Kevin King.
No, he's not even brought up in the piece by Rosenthal.
Yeah.
It's Kevin only King. About Alexander.
Kevin King is
not in nowhere near
the
that.
Wild card. That's the guy. You need your 6'3". Corner that runs a 4-3-4-4 with long arms. When he's out there, they're a great defense, but you can't count on it.
Tied for second last were the Green Bay Packers in interceptions at 7.
See, that's
trailing the Chicago Bears, who had a league leading 27.
That's embarrassing. I think our quarterback had more interceptions than that. We had Mosquito playing with Gary's baby. We each get picks every week.
Were you guys going up against Khalil Mack, or did you have Khalil Mack?
Better tell.
Because right there, it shows the quarterback pressures might not always be getting to the quarterback, but you're changing an internal clock. Steve, are you buying this is the year that the Packers defense finally better than the Packers offense?
Not if I believe the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour is a thing, and I do, which means that offense is going to be cracking. That offense is going to be cracking. They're going to be scoring points. That's what's going to be happening. Now, this defense has an opportunity to be better, sure. But a lot of this is going to depend on how good the Smith guys are, right? How good is Amos at safety? How good is the rookie Savage at safety? Because there's going to be a lot of pressure on the safeties, like there always is in Ben's defense, to step up and make plays in that defense. And will they be able to do that? We'll have to wait and find out. Everybody talks about Kenny Clark and how big of a beast he's going to be, and they talk about
Kenny
the Smiths
Clark's
and free agency and all of this. But the two guys on this defense that everybody kind of snickers at, well, one, they definitely snicker
at. I like snickers, by the way.
And the other one, I don't think anybody ever brings up. Lowry had a big year last year for them on that defensive line. And
big Dean Lowry.
You have to assume that he's going to be that same guy this year.
They're going to take Cal Fackrell, man.
Now, that's the snickered one, right, the guy that everybody laughs at. That guy there, Cal Fackrell.
This man had 10.5 sacks. What did that rate at in the NFL?
Yeah.
It had to be top 15.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, still on his rookie deal.
So the question is, you know, is he going to be that guy again this year? Is Fackrell that player, or was that just that magical year that he had his career year and everything kind of broke, right? Or is Fackrell legitimately that good?
He's going to get all the one-on-ones, Steve.
If Fackrell is legitimately a double-digit sack guy, that's a huge get for the Green Bay Packers. A huge find.
If he can do it again.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if he comes back with 10 or more sacks again this year to go along with what else they have, that defense could be pretty good.
And I can't wait to see practice, because right now I had heard that he's not starting.
That he's sitting behind the two Smiths.
Well, he was never a starter. He was a role player. Guy, you know what I'm saying? They threw him out.
Third down pass rusher.
Right.
His 10.5 sacks were tied with Fletcher Cox, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Calais Campbell for 17th most in the NFL.
See, all those guys get paid $100 million apiece. But
are you advocating to pay him $100 million? Please tell me you're not.
No, but if he keep doing it, you got again what you gave Nick Perry. Right?
Nick Perry. You have that money available.
If he keeps doing it, but you don't have to worry about him right
now. 2 years down the line.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him right
now. No. He going to come off the bench when it's third and. Remember McKenzie?
Yep.
Used to come off for us.
Reggie McKenzie. Keith McKenzie.
Keith McKenzie. Come off the bench when it's third down or second and long. Now, it's like a running back. When you come in, you know they're going to pass. But it doesn't matter. When he comes off the bench,
so he'll be in sub packages.
Right. He'll wait till his package is called.
Which you'll be in on second and third down anyway.
So he may get, 8 rushes a game, maybe 10. But sometimes, he's going to get the one-on-one. They're going to slide the line. He's one-on-one with the back. If he can work that back over and don't bite on the play action, he's going to get a free sack.
Did you answer the question yet?
That's the original question?
Will this be the year that the defense is better than the offense for the Green Bay Packers?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't.
Okay. I knew he didn't.
No. I mean, you got to be realistic, too, because you don't have an MVP type.
You don't have an Aaron Donald. You don't have a Khalil Mack, Von Miller. Sure.
So to put that on, but as a group, it's possible because, like I said, they had 44 sacks, but it turned into.
But could you have a Darrell Revis?
Wait a minute. Did he say yes or did he say no?
He said no.
But he just said a group, though.
I said, I'm setting another precedent. If that another precedent. Group, if the group gets another 44 sacks.
Right.
I'm stealing okay? your quote, Gary. You need to stop, man.
Well, I'm just trying to keep up with the intelligent people so they'll know what we're talking about. Because sometimes y'all get lost. You okay. can't get lost in this transition.
Give me your addendum.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do.
No, give me your addendum.
You want to do it
as a group? No. I want to hear this as a group. No, as a group. No, I want to hear it as a group.
No, you done ruined it. This is what I'm going to do. When you and Baby Tosh, you ask me a question, I'm going to say yes and no, and I'll explain it. To no. Steve during the break.
And then to everybody else after the break.
Well, they got to, no, they just miss out because y'all ruined it for them.
I won't let that happen, America. Don't worry. Don't worry about these big show audience. You will get that after the break. You will get that after the break. Gary Ellerson, birthday boy, you're
you finished the addendum because, come on.
Well, I'm just saying, as a group, if they repeat that, that's a good thing. If they get 44 sacks.
Okay.
That was it.
There it
okay.
is.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke.
Leap 36.
Yes. Yep, Leap 36 on Twitter. Line it up.
You guys are crazy.
It's Gary Ellerson's birthday. We're having a great time when he's Big Show here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Find our podcasts of every single word spoken on this show.
What's
or
up?
Any of the shows, 1057FMTheFan.com is Fan On Demand.
Our podcast?
Yes.
The interview that we did with Mark Murphy, where can they find
they can find that at 1057FMTheFan.com. You click on Fan On Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick, GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Or, you've got an iPhone, you can just go on to the Apple Podcast app, go up, search Wendy's Big Show, subscribe right there. Google Play as well. Same way you can do it to find our podcasts each and every day that get uploaded right here at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
So go on 105.7 FM, The Fan podcast.
105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Click on Fan On Demand. Okay. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Can you
That's
put this on my Facebook page for me? You
just what?
Too fast. Go ahead. Anyway, you want to talk about Matt LaFleur and them? Coach.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur, the new Packers head coach, is trying to figure out how he's going to maneuver training camp with a torn Achilles, which I think can be one question that he's going to have to do. Also, we've had the question marks of how he's going to do it with an aging quarterback who Steve read the quotes from, is not all that interested, all that enthralled with running the football as much as maybe Matt LaFleur would like it done.
No. And look, they're going to have to come to an understanding here at some point. Between Rodgers and LaFleur and this front office about who really is in charge of this show. They're just going to figure it out. Whether it's Murphy coming down and saying, listen, this is LaFleur's show, we're going to do what he wants. Or if it's Murphy coming down and saying, dude, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Let's just rely on what he wants to do and let's just go with it. We can still run elements of your offense, Matt, but we're going to kind of defer to Aaron here and let him kind of do what he wants to do at the line of scrimmage. But somebody's got to make a damn decision on who's listening and who and what's going on here. Because if you allow this to continue to fester and say, well, it's not a big deal. Well, it's fine. It will be okay. Don't worry about it.
It'll work itself out.
And then by week six, week seven, you got stories coming out of that locker room that these two don't like each other. They're not on the same page and all hell's breaking loose. There goes the season. It's all done. And this is, and both of you, Gary and Leroy, can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of where you're supposed to work these things out with a new coach and a new quarterback is training camp. I mean, this is, you know, you get these weeks, you get exhibition games. Rodgers will play more in exhibition games this year than he's probably played in since his first or second year in the league, is my guess. And you have to communicate, and you're with each other nonstop throughout training camp and get on the same page, Leroy. That's what has to happen here with these two guys.
See, I don't think it's as bad as people think, but if you've ever been married before and then you get married again, the communication is different. But there is structure, especially when you're dealing with the stepkids. And the stepkids are the other players are seeing how this relationship is going to work. The structure is the head coach is the boss. There is no negotiations to that. Otherwise, why would you even hire him if he's going to be undermined? He has a system that he brings in. And every one of us, including the quarterback, makes that system works. All the other underlining stuff, I just don't think it's that bad for us to think that something may happen. Because if something does happen, the first thing people are going to say is, Well, we knew it was Aaron Rodgers.
We knew he was uncoachable.
Right. So he's dealing with some things that normal players would deal with, not just because of you're a great player. Even the practice squad guys dealing with some of this same things. How do I take this information that you're giving me and make me the best possible player within a team, you know, confinement? You don't want to be alienated. But all quarterbacks go through it. So Ben Roethlisberger, you know, he's been a lot of turmoil this offseason. But he hasn't gotten the headlines because of Aaron Rodgers, basically. You know, he had two
players. Well, and he deferred it to another player. He deferred it to two other players as the problem childs, and then he was the one that sticks around.
But he's the one, though. But you notice him and his coach, they're in line.
But you also know that the coach realizes that they're not getting rid of Ben Roethlisberger. They just got rid of two of the top players at their positions, arguably the top player at their positions, respectively on the offense, and then gave him a contract.
This is the thing. I've been thinking about this a little bit.
What you been thinking about, Steve?
If this does go wrong on them, and if he ends up train wrecking this thing, and they end up not being that good, like they should be on offense, and this thing doesn't go right, and they're having tension issues, I've determined what I want to do if I'm Mark Murphy.
Well, I already told you.
If this defense gets better, like everybody thinks it's going to get better, Mike Pettine's the head coach, and I go to Aaron Rodgers, and you pick the offensive staff. Who do you want as offensive coordinator?
Why would you want any player to do this?
Because I'm telling you right now.
No.
Because you're not giving me – I'm not going through this again with another offensive-minded head coach. I'm not going through this. I understand. I'm not going through this with another offensive-minded head coach for him to train wreck another one.
Steve,
so if it happens this time on the floor, then he can pick Daryl Bevel or whoever the hell he wants as his offensive coordinator. And we're going to let Pettine be the head coach, and enough is enough. I'm not wasting money on head coaches that he's not going to listen to anyhow if that's offensive-minded.
You got to listen to the program and listen to because if you're a good player, you're a good player.
How many times you bang your head into the wall before you give up?
I'm telling you right now, if this goes south, Rodgers taking a fall on this.
No way.
Yes.
Meaning they'll trade him or something.
I'm just telling you.
No.
If it goes south and if it's being reported from all the people.
Sure.
Rodgers taking a fall on this, cuz.
But how does he take the fall?
Well, because you
trade him.
Because you've already had the same situation happen with McCarthy. You got rid of McCarthy.
When it would be back-to-back years.
Then you bring in LaFleur. Happens with LaFleur. Who's the common denominator?
Right, but what's your fallout? What are you going to do? You're not going to do anything.
I'm just saying.
You're not going to trade him.
I'm just telling you, Rodgers taking a fall on this, not Matt LaFleur.
You'll know if he throws his first interception and who he blames, himself, the player, or the system. You're going to know. So there's mechanisms that's built in for this not to happen. Because if you listen to that interview that Gary and Baby Tosh did with Murphy, he glowingly loves LaFleur.
That's his guy. He's got to make it work.
This is his guy. I mean, I would have asked him about, you know, him playing basketball and the old thing. How did you feel about that? But back on track, they wanted a young guy. They got a young guy to challenge him. If you're going to a club, I want to go with a guy that's 56, not 26. So you got a guy 39 years old. I'm 35. We can respect each other. You're the coach. I'm the player. There's no player coaches, and they don't have that. They did it in the NBA, but they don't do it here. You sit in a meeting room, and you be coachable. And within that meeting room, you say your negatives and your positives, and the coaches take that, and they'll put it into the game plan to where everybody's on the same page. That's why these guys get fired every week, it seems like. Every year they're changing coaches because something didn't work out. But no one ever looks at the quarterback or the defensive lineman or the cornerback. Is it a good fit? This seemed to be a great fit. Not some round peg going in a circle hole. No, this was a great fit. They interviewed him. They talked about all this stuff. Now Aaron Rodgers is a part of the team, and he's going to get back to form, and everything is going to be fine.
That sounds all night well and good.
That's the only way it can be. Otherwise, they're going to look up and say, Mark is not managing this thing properly because they keep falling off the rails because everybody's walking around with white gloves and just tiptoeing around. No, it's easy. You sit in the meeting room and you learn and you go be a great player. You can still be yourself, but you can't undermine the coach.
Leroy, if he thinks he's smarter than the coach, good luck.
I think I'm smarter than everybody, but that don't make it true. It doesn't.
But you're not him.
But every guy has an ego. But my ego is in the team confines of it, not just me.
Not just the player and not just my talents.
I need my coach. I need my coach to get to the next level. This guy puts in 18-hour days while I'm out golfing, taking pictures with Steph Curry.
Well, he came out and hung out with me and Danica, watched the NCAA tournament.
These guys are working. So I value my coaches. Dick Geron, one of the smartest guys ever been around. I had some differences on technique. He said, we can do both, but we're going to fix it in the classroom. So the media won't get ask me a question, how's it going? Oh, it's okay, but I'm rolling my eyes.
Sure.
You know, well, they won't let me do this, they won't let me do that, whatever, but you got to make it work.
Nobody's rolling their eyes if they work with John Young at Young Express.
No, I don't think so.
Great company to go work for, great company to start a new career with. Young Express, can we talk about so much, continues to grow, this time expanding their dispatch and sales departments. They've been in business for over 27 years. Been doing something right. And they've been a company that's been listed on Inc. magazine as one of America's fastest growing companies 7 out of 8 years. Young Express. You can apply online right now. Go to youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. Let's talk a little bit about the sales department opening that they have right now. A couple of things that they're looking for. Reliable transportation, all right? Willingness to travel within inside territory, high school diploma or equivalent. Outside sales experience preferred but not required. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. And high degree of integrity. What can you expect? 40-hour work week from Young Express. Salary plus commissions, bonuses, and contests. Generous mileage reimbursement. Expense account, health insurance, 401k. Plus, you get a cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by the company. Plus, a fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Young Express, right now, looking for salespeople and people to work in their dispatch department as they continue to grow. Apply for their position that fits your passion at youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
So Chase Anderson is out at 94 pitches. Is that like the...
At 17 outs.
So that's the ceiling.
17 outs is the pillar mark for David Stearns and Craig Council.
They want 17 outs. We met that, so we're good.
Yep, got the 17 outs.
Who are the stud relievers that are going to pitch now?
I don't know who's warming up.
Maybe Alex Claudio.
I said stud
I think
relievers.
Claudio is going to get into the game here today.
Yeah.
Is Jeffress ready?
Jeffress, probably not. Today is one of those games that you go to Josh Hader in like the seventh inning if you can. I don't care who pitches in the ninth inning. Just somebody put Josh Hader in the game and we'll figure it out. Get Josh Hader into the baseball
There's
game
a runner on.
That's all you need to do. Get Josh Hader
into
the
baseball. It's two
runner on first base.
One
it's
on
two outs, right?
Yes, that's
why. Why wouldn't they just let him finish
Chase
it?
Was pulled after he walks Freddie Freeman here in the top half of the sixth inning at Miller Park. Top half of the order for the Atlanta Braves. It's Josh Donaldson facing now Freddie Peralta with two outs, one on in the top half of the sixth inning. Freddie Peralta.
You didn't mention Freddie Peralta and your little stud relievers that you just
That I
up.
Did not. You... No, I did
was
not.
Was that on purpose?
It was. It was definitely on purpose. Right. What's on purpose? Wendy's chance to give you some free food. It comes up next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. A little jump around on Gary Ellerson's birthday. What's better than that? Wendy's Big
Freddie
Show
Peralta.
Is better than that. Don't say Freddie Peralta's better than that.
Should I hit low audio or click on the Wendy's Big Show?
Load audio.
Yeah, okay.
I'm teaching Gary Ellerson how to get through it. The thing is, the internet in here, just for some reason,
it's
is always
slow.
So slow. And it's just nauseating after a while.
I'm on the wrong Wi-Fi. Get on the private.
Oh, this guy has all the answers. Understandably so, Leroy Butler would have all the answers.
You got three Wi-Fi.
Do you have like your own router and like your own internet connection in here or something?
You know, I can't stand for my phone to be under 50%. I panic, and I must have Wi-Fi when available because my phone's terrible in this building.
Which one of the L's taught you that?
Danielle. That's a smart one. That's the fireman, 19 years old. 4.8 student.
As the Milwaukee...
I didn't know they'd go over 2.0, to be honest.
Is that... The grading scale at Florida State?
No, that was me personally.
Oh, okay. All right. That works.
Stuck like that.
Every once in a while, they can let you get higher higher than that.
Honeybrook!
414-799-1250, a four-pack of tickets. Give me a number.
I'm wearing it, too.
Give me a number between 1 and 10.
3.
Three. Caller number 3 to 414-799-1250 has a pair three. Or a four-pack of State Fair tickets. 414-799-1250. Sparky, a lot of people are complaining about the heat right now.
Why would you complain about the heat?
Well, dude, it's pretty hot. I was out there on Monday, and I was in a danger zone up there at the Bull at Pinehurst Farms while we were on remote for the Packer Hall of Fame golf outing. But
before we talk about this heat and everything else, I just want to read something, because we got to get to Sports Flash Shop of the Hour, right?
Yes.
Okay,
we do.
So I got something to read here. I want to see what Gary thinks of this.
Okay.
So Vic Fangio, who's now the head coach of the Denver Broncos,
correct,
who was the defensive coordinator for the Bears, was with the Niners, with Harbaugh, has been around a long time.
Right.
They were asking him if he knew that the Broncos had more open training camp practices by a lot, like 23,
mm-hmm.
compared to the rest of the NFL, mm-hmm. Packers have what, like 7, 9, something like that?
All right.
I don't think there's many for the Packers.
Okay.
You're saying for the public to come.
For the public to come and watch, right. Most of these guys are all closing them down now so the public can't see it.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you this because you played in the 80s. I want to see if this is similar. He said, quote, "I didn't realize we had the most, but I think it's good to have the fans out here. The history of the NFL. You had to go to college campuses back in the day because the NFL facilities didn't look like this. When I first went to the Saints in the mid-80s, we had an 80-yard grass field to practice on. We had no cafeteria. Guys would go to a greasy deli for lunch right across the street.
Mm.
So you were forced to go to a small college campuses to have your two-a-days because they had a cafeteria, because they had classrooms, and because they had dorms to sleep in. A byproduct of that was fans would come and watch. I think one of the things, small thing, that has driven the NFL to it being the most popular sport in the country is that you let people come and watch practice. People that maybe can't afford to go to the game and maybe get an autograph from a player. Maybe a player shakes their hand or throws them a sweatband or a glove. You do that with a young person, you get a fan for life. And football has a fan for life. There's more to be gained out of that than any advertising slogan or any commercial that you put on TV. So I think it's a good thing and I'll embrace it. The players will embrace. I wish there could be more of them here, but I think about half or less of the NFL teams now don't go to college campuses and don't have the wherewithal to have people at their facilities to watch practices. I think it's a little bit of a negative.
Okay. What's your question?
So first, my question is,
okay,
tell me about what the facilities were like when you played in Green Bay in the 80s and what you were practicing on and what your training camp was like compared to what these guys are going through now.
I think... facility-wise, I mean, it's tough, but I think we probably had one of the better facilities. I mean, the field. Now, we stayed at St. Norbert's, obviously.
So you were on a college campus, like you said.
But we came over to Dunn Hudson.
Right.
We came over to that. We had three practice fields over there. Immaculate. The fields were always immaculate. I mean, you could.
It's so nice.
Meal-wise, we ate at St. Norbert's. Yeah.
So you probably always got sick.
Three squares.
Huh? No,
the food so you probably always got sick.
The food
sick.
Was amazing.
Hit the hot button, man.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't cafeteria food.
Yeah, sure.
It was good. It was people that they hired, the Packers did.
It was good
to come in. Well, as long as St. Norbert didn't have it hold.
No, St. Norbert had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, makes sense.
The Packers hired their own cooks.
You guys probably would have all gotten sick if you guys would have eaten the St.
Norbert. Yeah. Another wrong St. Norbert. You're bitter because of Carroll football days.
Probably would have gotten sick all everyone.
So from that standpoint, and our facilities, Steve, were awesome. I mean, the weight room, I mean, it was, I tell you what was bad was when I went to the Lions, that was awful.
Why? What happened there?
Well, we only had like maybe 30 or 40 yards of the field. The Pistons had the other.
Oh, because you were in the dome.
Yeah.
Silver Dome.
It was Silver Dome. Awful. And we had to walk past the Pistons to go to practice.
So you'd have to walk on the hardwood
with the cleats on. We had to walk on the hardwood with the cleats on, because cement. We had to walk on the cement. And then that's when I, Leroy,
knowed.
That's when I knew that underneath that carpet was just cement.
Just cement.
They just rolled it out.
So I was in Indianapolis, too, at the RCA Dome. It was the same way.
Just rolled it out.
That was the sick realization that I'm landing on concrete.
I'm landing on concrete. Are you kidding me? There's nothing underneath this? That's all it is? About an inch? You kidding me? They were bad. But compared to most, I think the Packers have always had good facilities.
Right. So now,
oh, there it is.
Now take that.
Solo homer from Christian Yelich, 34th of the year, ties Cody Bellinger.
That's the other thing, though, because you used to have what was the Cheese League or whatever they called it here in Wisconsin, where you had the Kansas City Chiefs here practicing from down there the Bears were in Platteville.
Well, so when I was playing with the Lions, we practiced against the Saints in La Crosse.
In La Crosse. Yep. That was another team that was here. And that's what he's talking about. Back in the day, you wouldn't practice in your own home city because you didn't have the facilities to practice there. They weren't good enough. So you had to go find college campuses to practice on. So now, with all these new upgraded stadiums, all the new upgraded facilities and everything else, do you think the training camps are better now that they're not traveling to go to these college campuses and do their thing, and now they're still staying at home?
Yeah, because I think when I was with the Lions, we practiced at Oakland University on their college campus, and we stayed in the dorms. Horrible. And no air conditioning.
Because isn't there something to getting away from friends and family for that time to have training camp?
You know,
like Kansas City going to Wisconsin or whatever?
You know, Forrest Gregg did that one year. He took us to Olympia Resort.
Oh, no, Carmel
Nobody was happy about that on Carmel Walk. Because then the Green Bay lost a lot of money. So I think, though, if you can keep the facilities right by your stadium, and that's great. Now, we just heard, which I didn't even know. Maybe you knew about it, Steve. We just heard Mark Murphy talk about this. The Don Hutson said, now he says it's 20 years away. But Leroy, the new indoor facility they're going to build is going to be south of the stadium.
South.
So I don't know what they're going to do with all that. They got all that where it's going to be indoors. So what are you going to, the Don Hutson Center is
you would imagine hotel.
Did he talk about that thing they did with Microsoft? Did he
just talk about that? Yeah.
Talking about his stuff.
Yeah.
Title Town.
So I don't know.
That's amazing. I think it opens next month.
How could you not want to play for the Green Bay Packers, the amount of stuff they're going
to
have?
Well, the fan base to me is better than anything.
But the training camp experience in Green Bay
is,
because like he points out, you don't have all these fans showing up necessarily at all these facilities.
Well, you got,
but
we
in
got,
Green Bay, you have them. Every practice that's open, it's always packed.
I rode the same kid's bike for 10 years. Name was Nick. The bike system is great. Even some practices you had open in the morning, afternoon maybe closed. But we were a very transparent team because you want the fabric of the team to be the fans.
Fabric.
And you want them to buy in. So the more days I can get my players in front of the fans, it was great. It's great branding.
That's why the branding and the fans that make the Wendy's Big Show make up Wendy's fans, and Wendy's is giving back with the Bring Home the Bacon Fest promotion. Guys, nobody sells more bacon cheeseburgers than Wendy's because nobody does bacon like Wendy's, and it's time to celebrate this delicious meat candy and all its glory. We're turning up the sizzle with new items like the bacon jalapeno cheeseburger that they had in here yesterday, which was on point. I mean, just outstanding stuff. Serving up hot and crispy deals with the bacon double stack in the $5 biggie bag, plus tons of new other bacon favorites. It's the bacon lover's dream finally coming true, and you can win the bacon lover's dream. The Wendy's Bring Home the Bacon Bag, a value that is just off the charts. You get a bunch of cool different bacon things, like a bacon pool float, bacon t-shirts, some different surprise bacon themed things, Wendy's water bottle, Wendy's pen,
we got a
Wendy's
float
cinch bag
in there that you can swim on, or like bacon or something.
That's the pool float. Yep. You can raft on that. You can be sizzling in the sun all
it's like
summer
7 feet long.
Yeah, and you can be macking down on some Wendy's combo meal cards, bacon jalapeno cheeseburger cards, a bunch of those, a bunch of small fry coupons, small frosties.
Bro.
Giant cookies, small chilies, all over this place. You are going to have the opportunity to go to 1057fmthefan.com, click on the contest page, and everything you want for the Bacon Fest, the Wendy's Bring Home the Bacon Fest promotion is at 1057FM The Fan's contest page. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 1057FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.